Jesus. Hello? You wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be preaching today if it's not for the blood of Jesus. Pray with me, Lord. We want to thank you. Lord, we thank you for the praise in the house today. We thank you, Lord, that we have been off timing all day because we've been on your time today. And there were some folks that need to be baptized today, and that was what was more important than our schedule. So God, since you started it that way today, may we be in tune in the name of Jesus with what you have to tell us, because none of us are here today by accident, God. You brought who needed to be here in the house today to hear what needed to be said today for a divine purpose today that will affect all eternity. So God, Jesus, King Jesus, the blood of Jesus that washes away all our sins, may we listen today with an ear that can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And then may we live it. Amen? Then may we live it. You may be seated if you can sit, and if you can't sit, just go to the back so others can see. Okay? How many of y'all glad to be in a house of worship today? Seriously, you glad to be here? Great. Man, it is great to have you here today. Now, I'm going to deal with a simple question that a lot of people ask all the time. Simple question, but a lot of people ask this question. What do I do after I get saved? Huh. Well, I've been saved. I've been made new. My sins are forgiven. Now what? Well, Jesus answered this question. He told a lady, she'd been out kind of catting around and got caught, and Jesus forgave her, and then he said, go and sin no more. And what he was saying by that, go live. Go live in the way I have made you. So I want us to dream a little bit today. I want you to see the church of Jesus Christ. Okay? And Hillview is just a part of a larger church called the Church of Jesus Christ. As your pastor, I'm committed to two very serious things. First of all, that you would become connected to the cross and the resurrection. And I'm telling you, if you're here today and you've never had an encounter with Jesus Christ, we're deeply concerned because you're going to hell. And we don't want you to go to hell. Now, I could sweeten that up and use a bunch of flowery, bunch of yuppie, buppy words. But the fact is, you're going to hell. And we don't want you to go to hell. That seems pretty loving to me. Amen? It kind of works like this. If you were out in the lake and you were drowning, I wouldn't give you a lecture. I'd send you a life preserver. Amen? Well, we got something that'll change your life in the house today. His name is Jesus. He was crucified. He is resurrected. His Holy Spirit is alive, and he wants to get with people. That's a fact. That is the fact, and that is the reality of God. He loves every one of us dearly. I'm going to blow you all away. This week, you've seen over 100 people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in the life of your church. What do you think about that? You've seen 100 people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you say, why in the world is that happening? Because you're beginning to be what you're supposed to be after you get saved. Second thing I want you to get committed to is the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, I'll go on record here. I've already been published on this. I'm a Southern Baptist for one reason. That's what I'm supposed to be. Now, being a Southern Baptist doesn't amount to the hill of beans in the kingdom of God. They're a very small toenail in the body of Christ. And sometimes they're quite irritating. I'm telling you the truth. But I'm one because that's what God wanted me to be. But you know what? I have a larger membership. It's called the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm part of the Bride of Christ. I'm part of the community, the fellowship of believers. Those who believe that He died and He's risen again. And those who believe that that changes their life. And those are the people Jesus is coming back to get. He's not going to check your denomination card, but He is going to check, were you a part of the Church of Jesus Christ? The church is still important. And I want you to know that God wants to see great things happen in His church. And so since we are a church, I think we ought to be a great church. What do you guys think? Huh? Are y'all okay with that? Come on, talk to me now. We're not at 8 o'clock. Y'all can talk. Go ahead and talk about it. I mean, and guess what? God's wanting to release this church. He's on the move. I want to thank you guys, man. I love the sanctuary. How many of y'all like the worship center? I got a little more pop to it. Yeah, that's cool. You know why that happened? Because you gave. That happened because you gave, man. I want to thank you all. We're getting all this stuff done. And guess how much debt we're going to be in? None. That's the way it's supposed to be, because you gave. Now, I think God's leading us. And we're on a zone here, okay? Here's what we're going to be working on from now into December. Go ahead and write this down. Some of you need to take notes. We're going to work on getting the attitude of Jesus. We got to get some attitude in this church, right? Some of y'all need a little attitude. Correct kind of attitude. Some of y'all got some attitude, but we need to get some Jesus attitude. Amen? And we get an attitude of Christ, and we're going to find that in God's basic teachings. And that is, God's just really cool. He didn't have to have old publishing house to tell you how to live. He did that all in the Beatitudes. And it's amazing. If you'll live out what Jesus said in the Beatitudes, you'll line up with what his Father said in the Ten Commandments. Maybe Jesus is God. What do you think? I think he is. In fact, I know he is. And I know he's died for you and he's risen in you. And now he expects to see some great things in his church. Y'all okay with that? So we're going to answer this question today. What in the world do I do after Jesus comes into my life? You just watch Roger baptize his beautiful daughter. Now, what in the world does she do now? She becomes a part of the community of Christ. She's a part of the church of Jesus Christ. Man, she has been hooked up by the blood of Jesus. Now she's been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Y'all understand that? Okay, there is a Holy Spirit, okay? And I'm one Baptist preacher that isn't scared of it. In fact, I don't believe you can have church without it. In fact, it was very, 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 very exciting for me as I began to study Acts 2 inside and out over and over again that God never created an organization. That relieved me so much. And nor does he spend a lot of time in the Bible organizing the church. He spends a whole lot more time releasing it. And I'm convinced that you and I have a responsibility. We're to be the glory of God to the world. What do you think? Look at your neighbor and just say, "You look like glory today." So come on, tell them, "You look like some glory today." "Well, you look like what today? Some glory." No, hold on, this is powerful. So now follow me if you can follow this, if we're really going to be an explosive movement of the Holy Spirit. You see, I think the problem with the church is we're more concerned how we look than what we are. Amen. That's right. And that's really easy to do in America because we do a lot of commercials. I'm afraid we're having one for the Church of Jesus Christ. Here's what I found about commercials. They're not real. You can use that tooth whitening strip and it doesn't work. You know, instantly, like it does on TV. We got to quit being a commercial and start being the reality of God's glory to the world. Here's how I think we do it. Just be what we're supposed to be after we get saved. Huh? Well, let's talk church for a minute. That's what we're going to talk about today. Getting on with it. Being in Christ. He goes on to Acts 2, and I want you to slide on down. The power of the Holy Spirit hits everybody. There are tongues of fire, and there's a communication language where God communicates to his people. That's all biblical. It's all cool. It's all true. There's fire. There's fire that falls. I think we forget that. How many of y'all are glad to know there's fire that still falls in the kingdom of God? Young people, man, I'm excited about you guys because you know what? A whole lot of you are beginning to get a passion for God. And I want you to leave this place called Hillview because one day you're going to leave, man. Who knows where God's going to send you? I hope he sends you all over the planet in the name of Jesus. All right? You know, I can see Danny Stoneberg right in the middle of Africa somewhere doing great and wonderful technology things. Kicking a soccer ball then, Danny. They have no footballs in Africa. Okay, watch. But who knows? But you know what? I want them to go with the passion of Jesus wherever they go. How many of you all can begin to say, you know, I want to dwell in the passion of Jesus? And if this is not powerful, then why in the world did God send fire before he started the church? It's very interesting to me that God did not have a committee meeting before he organized his church. He sent the fire from heaven down into the people who followed. I don't think he's changed his mind. Well, guess what's inside of you after you get saved? The fire of God, the power of God, the glory of God. And then he says, you guys need to do these things. In fact, guess what happened in Acts 2? 3,000 were added to his kingdom on that day. I've been begging God. I said, God, I want to live one day where I see 3,000 people come to know the Lord and are baptized on that day. I always think God stocks a pretty good opportunity because the water's already been heated by the sun all summer. You know, it's a lot less administratively to get done. But you know what? I believe we could see that. And can you imagine 3,000 people confessing their faith on one day? Well, that does happen when those who follow Jesus become what they're supposed to be.
And so I think it's time for us to kick it up at Hillview. What do you think? Work with me here now. Well, you're going to have to work with me. Well, go to that 42nd verse, chapter 2, because it says, these are the things that activate the kingdom of God. Now, here's what I believe, and it's true. You can't save yourself. How many of y'all understand that? You just can't save yourself. I mean, you can be a good American, a good moral person, and that means you're just going to be red, white, and blue in hell. That's about where that's going to get you. You know, and you can say a prayer in school, whoopity-doo. That doesn't make you holy to say some kind of man-made, manufactured, prescribed prayer in a classroom. If that made us holy, then why did the 60s occur? Because I'm going to tell you what, a form of religion that denies its power will always be empty. And we have a form of religion in American culture that always denies Jesus' power. Jesus can do anything he wants to. Is that clear enough? Jesus can do anything he wants to. No man can stop the movement of God. Man, that ought to send a tingle up your spine. No human can stop the movement of God. That's who we worship. And he's in us. Well, let me tell you what. He falls and the church gets going. 3,000 are added that day, man. People are getting saved. People are turning on to Jesus. And then guess what they did in verse 42? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. Now I'm going to tell you right here, guys. Praise God that you got saved. Now you got to learn what he said. After you come to know Jesus, now you got to learn what he said. That takes a lifetime. Let me help you with this. Sunday morning worship will not be enough Bible to get you on with it. Because here's what I'm basically giving you. I'm giving you the trailer to the book. Previews. How many of y'all just watch the preview and say, I got the movie figured out? Huh? Now, I know a lot of you are like me and you did all your college through Clef Notes. Well, that's not going to work. You got to know the details of God's teaching because those details are going to intimately and intricately shape your life. God wants you to know what he said. And then, see, I'm telling you, he's talking to you. And then, guess what? God wants you to know how to live that out. Amen? So we got to be devoted to his teachings. And then guess what we're going to do? We're going to be devoted to what? We're going to be devoted to the fellowship of each other. How many of y'all are glad to know that God wants us to be with one another? So watch this. We get involved in learning what God said, and that involves us with getting with each other and doing something powerful. How many of y'all realize this? When we get together, we become unstoppable. What did Jesus say? A house divided against itself cannot what? Stand. Which is, you can take a ball team and you can have all the talent in the world on that ball team. But if that ball team doesn't know how to come together, they can never win. Same in the church. It can have all possibility. It can have all power. But if it doesn't come together, it'll never realize the possibilities of God. Let me help you with a myth. Your faith is not private. The devil lied. If faith was private, why was it a public cross? Why was it a public resurrection? Why was there a public display at Pentecost? If God wanted it to be private, he would have kept Jesus in the closet. It looks like to me, he rolled away the stone, he opened it up, he sent him in the world, and then he gave us the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Shout it up and down the hills. Let the world know God is loose. How many of y'all got God loose in you? See, I wish we'd get dangerous. Be standing in line. Don't get too close. Jesus get on you. You know. Be driving by the liquor store and the bottles rattle. Because the power of God is coming by. Got something better than that. Walking. But y'all look at me when I talk like this and you say, Ayers, you crazy. You're right. My sins have been forgiven. I'm filled with eternal possibility. When I die, I'm going to live. That makes you weird. Because I'm full of joy, I'm full of love, I'm full of hope, I'm full of peace, I'm full of power, I'm full of possibility. Nothing can defeat me because Jesus is in me. He said everything has been made possible for you. Nothing can stop you. God is on the loose. What would happen if the church woke up to that? Well, we'd be unstoppable. So what does the devil do? I still go to Mark Hale's house, Pastor Mark, soon to be the Reverend Dr. Mark Hale, but Pastor Mark, he used to have this crazy dog. It was an attention deficit dog. The attention deficit dog was an Airedale dog named Josie. And I loved Josie because Josie would jump on people. And Josie loved, I used to take his ball. He had a tennis ball. And if you rolled it down the hall, Josie would just go crazy chasing this tennis ball. I mean, berserk. And I loved it because she'd knock over stuff in the house and stuff like that. And it got Mark upset. And that was more fun than watching a dog go crazy. But anyway, You could take the ball and you could fake her out. I mean, you could take a ball and act like you throw it, and she would go like run into walls and stuff. Isn't that what the devil's done with us in the church? He's thrown so many fake tennis balls at us, and we run after them. And when we got there, there was nothing there. Church, I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you today in the name of Jesus. I'm telling you, I'm under an anointing right now because God's wanting to try to tell us something. We need to get our minds off these little things that have distracted us from the impact God wants to make. He said, I want you to be devoted to my teachings. And nowhere does he say major on the things that don't make a difference. See, if you go Bible study, you know that. He's going to tell us here in just a minute, man, be in fellowship with one another. People are important. Here's why I'm crazy. I believe every one of you can do something great. And here's what makes me a weird preacher. Well, I got a lot of my colleagues say that, but they wouldn't let you in their church. And when you came, they'd look down on you because you don't level at their targeted social stratus in their church. I'll call it out. I won't call it out as strong as I would outside these rooms what that is, but that's what that is. It denies the Word of God. It denies the cross. It spits on the tomb of the resurrection because Jesus Christ said, I've come for all people. Poor, rich, skinny, expanded, all versions. He said, I want them all to know me. Amen? He wants those who speak Spanish to know Jesus, and those who speak in the Mideastern language, Isa. He wants the name of Jesus to be declared in every language. That's why he sent the tongues of fire, so everybody could get it. That's how powerful our Jesus is. What does he want you to be? Devoted. Devoted. Devoted to his teachings. Immersed in his fellowship. Now, we do this one pretty good, the breaking of bread. In fact, we've gone overboard on that one. In fact, I read this week, current study, if you want to be obese, be a Baptist. We have something to be proud of. We lead the nation in obesity. Well, it got quiet there. If I'd have got a brother from my way, I'm making a motion that we're not going to let gluttons serve on any of our Southern Baptist committees either. Now we've thinned the crowd out. Some of our major leaders would have to sit down. They're addicted to baloney. Hello. I need a higher power. His name is Jesus. I'm addicted to baloney. I eat it all the time. Can't quit eating stuff. We all got stuff we struggle with. Amen? Here's what I'm telling you. Quit pointing at people's stuff and start pointing to God's solution. Amen? Amen? Y'all ain't hearing me in the name of Jesus. Amen? Our job is not to point out each other's issues. Our job in the church is to glorify the solution. His name is Jesus. And I'm telling you, once you get Jesus in your life, you'll stop doing a lot of the things that kill you. But I'm going to tell you what, you ain't going to stop them until you get him in your life. Because when you get him in your life, the teachings become real. The fellowship is for real. And you can eat together and celebrate life. That's what he's saying. That part of the church is celebrating life together. How many of y'all like to have a good meal? I do. Amen. Watch this. I'm glad that it said when we get to heaven, guess what we get to heaven? It uses this kind of picture word, this word picture. It says it's a great banquet. Now, for Pastor Jamie, he thinks it's Ponderosa. But I told Jamie, I said, that's hell, buddy. Up in heaven, they ain't going to have a big old line of food where everybody can sneeze on it. This is heaven. Yeah. Pastor Jamie, he's crazy, man. He likes them big old banquets. Be looking at 50 chicken legs. You know a bunch of kids have touched every one of them before you eat it, man. It just freaks me out. I've kind of got food phobia, you know what I mean? Don't I, Elizabeth? I don't like people touching my chicken before I touch it, you know what I mean? I want to be the first one to grab that leg. That's why I go to KFC. They got them gloves on, throw them legs in there. You know that's your leg. That ain't some four-year-old kid's leg, and then you eating that leg. That's your leg. The colonel was from Kentucky. Notice he didn't have no chicken buffets. He had buckets. That's what I'm saying. Well, it's just fellowship. Eat together. Breaking bread. Now, note what goes with this. Breaking bread in prayer. Here's what he's trying to tell us. When you eat together, know who got you that food. How many of y'all still thank God for your food? Listen, we better be thanking God. And if you're eating fast food, you need to pray a prayer of forgiveness. You eat a lot of fast food. Dear God, I know this is going to kill me. Just go ahead and put it on a wrapper like we got another thing. Warning. This will clog my arteries. I will leave the planet earlier. But it sure is good, isn't it? Here's what I figured out. Sometimes Elizabeth tries to get me healthy. I figured out, here's what health food is. Anything that has no taste to it is good for you. And everything that tastes good will kill you. So I've decided to be full of life, even though it might be a little shorter. Because I'd rather be full of who? Jesus. Y'all are getting this. Eat together, break bread, and pray. And y'all got the attitude here? These are attitudes that got to begin to emerge among the church. And he goes on to tell us, expect there to be the wonder of God. I don't know what's going to happen today. I hope something. You know what? I've been praying. People are going to get saved today. That's wonderful. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. You know what? There's a mystery. Some of y'all came to church today, man. That's a mystery. There are people right now going, I can't believe they're here. Hey, don't feel bad. They can't believe I preach. They can't. I've been doing it for 24 or 25 years now. 25 years. People still go, man, I can't believe you're a preacher. I said, why? I have too good a time. They said, yeah, man, you're full of life. I said, I know them other people believe in a cardboard Jesus. Mine like moves. I ain't got Jesus with a groove. I got a Jesus that'll dance. I got a Jesus change the water into grape juice. Some of you prudes need your water changed into wine, and some of you in excess need your wine changed back into water, okay? Jesus will do either one, amen? He knows what you need. That's what I'm saying. Look at here. Now, expect God to do something great. That's the attitude you need to get a hold of in the church. Expect God to do something great. For some reason, I train a lot of pastors now. I don't know why, Andy. They say you do that when you're old. Older pastors. They call me a mentor now. That just means you'll be dead soon. That's all that means. But watch, here's what I do. Here's what I try to tell them this. I said, listen, man, if you don't expect God to save people, you'll never see people saved. I said, I expect in the name of Jesus to happen great things. And I think we've dumbed that down, man. We walk around thinking, well, I just hope God will work this in my life. But I wouldn't want half the people to go to church come pray for me when I'm sick. What kind of prayer is this? Lord, if it be your will, kill them or heal them. Y'all just stay out of my room. I want somebody who knows how to pray. God, he's got cancer. I already know he's in your kingdom. But Lord, if you could keep him here a little longer, get rid of it. Pray directly. Amen? Pray directly. If you got a flat tire, where's your prayer need to be? Fix it. Good. Somebody got some sense. You don't need to be praying, Lord, I just feel your glory because I have a flat tire. Lord, I'm going somewhere. I got a flat tire. Fix it. Watch this. If you don't have a job, what do you need to pray for? Yeah, not that you go to Bible study, but you go to work. Amen. If you ain't got any money, there's a reason you ain't got any money. Let me let you all in on a big spiritual secret. If you go to work, they give you a check. Amen. If you don't go to work, you ain't got a check. What surprises me is you're surprised about that. You know? Move on. Enjoy the wonder of God. Expect something great to have in your life. Look what he said. Look at here. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. I want to stop there. God's still in the signs and wonder business. You saw some today. Everybody you see saved, that's a sign and wonder. That is a testimony to the authority of God. You know how I know the scripture's true? I've seen it. I've seen it. I see it in you. I see it coming out of my life. I see it in other people's lives. Watch. The signs and wonders of God are still alive. How many of y'all believe that? I'm going to tell you the truth. They're alive. And don't listen to these preachers that tell you, well, we're in the period of time where God doesn't work like... How do they know? Dr. Ward, you're even a Southern Seminary graduate. I am too. But I went to Southern when we still had questions. You've gone to Southern now that all knowledge has fallen upon the place. How does a preacher tell the message what it's going to say? See, God's the message. We are the messenger. Let me tell you how it works. The messenger can never tell the message what it's going to do. And watch, just because we're scared of it doesn't mean God ain't going to do it. mean, Lord have mercy. Just think if you never watch. I was scared to get married. How many of y'all guys were scared to get married? Come on, fess up. Get honest with me. I'm going to have it right now. I've done thousands of weddings. I ain't never done one where the groom's leg wasn't shaking. Especially when you get to this part. I give my life to you. That means all your Monday night football. It means all your buddies, your hunting trips. It means all that. I do. Let me tell you what. Y'all better wake up, though, if you think about getting married. Because when you say I do, you done. Better wake up on that. Be real about it. Amen? Well, y'all, look, I'm telling you the truth. Now, you look at me, man. I can't believe brother said that today. With his wife standing right in front of him. She knew I was done. That's why when I said I do, she smiled. Because you know what she knew? She always knew she was smarter than me. Then it's a great time to be married. But I was scared to get married. I mean, Elizabeth, were you scared to marry? See, Elizabeth was naive. Did you hear what she said? She said, I wasn't scared to after I got married. Yeah. That's the problem, all you women. You start looking at the white dress and the what an after party thing and all. You need to look at the dude you're fixing to marry. You study him as well as you do the wedding dress, there wouldn't be as many divorces. Because a lot of you all would come to the conclusion, I ain't doing that before you got into it. It's better to know him before you marry him. Like if he's a jerk, when you marry him, he will be three times that jerk. If she's nagging at age 16, she will be a terrorist at age 40. Note those things. I'm helping some of y'all. Enjoy the fellow. Expect great things to happen. Expect great things in your marriage. Expect great things for your children. Expect the wonder and the awe of God to be amidst his people. Amen? Expect people to get saved here every Sunday. Every time we meet, expect somebody to get saved because everybody needs to get saved. There's a lot of people going to hell right now. I mean, y'all realize that. See, here's the problem is, I know they're going to hell. I've read the book. And some of y'all are betting there's plan B. I know I hear you right now. Going, well, I think if I'm a good person, I know you do. Now you're going to be sitting there, good person in the middle of hell. You voted Republican, you believed in prayer in school, and you went to hell. Short hair and all. Problem is, you lived hell while you were here. I respect a wide open sinner. At least they're having a good time on their way to hell. Problem with religion, you're miserable here, and then you're miserable where you're headed. That's why Jesus said, you religious people make people twice the sons of hell. What you got going on is hellish in itself, and then the destination's hellish. Isn't that crazy? Jesus said, I've come to give you life. Expect the wonder of God. Amen. How many of y'all know God is wonderful and he wants to do wonderful signs? Amen. Well, let me ask you a question. Let me just pause here. Listen, don't get amazed when God does something beyond your comprehension. Let me help you. He's a little dramatic. God will pull a Spielberg every once in a while. You know, just think about it. There's Moses in a quandary. I mean, this is a tense situation. Moses leaning over his staff. Hey, Yahweh, you keeping up with current events? I have a Red Sea in front of me. I got an army here, and they do not like us. They are going to kill us. God says, no problem. Now, God could have built a bridge and been very Baptist-like, but no. God parts the waters, which up until that point, Moses had never walked across an ocean on dry land. You know what I mean? This is a little freaky. But sometimes God tells us, you step into the freaky, and on the other side, you'll know my salvation. Expect the wonder and awe of God. It's in the community of Christ. Just a lot of things that are unexplainable. Yeah. Babies, how they work, unexplainable. I remember when we went through Lamaze class, all the details to that, Lord have mercy. I thought, how in the world have humans carried on before we had all these classes? They did for centuries, and they still will. It's not our knowledge, but his power. Look at here. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Let me tell you something you got to have. Attitude of consistency. How many of y'all got consistency in your life? It's an important thing. Be consistent in worship, consistent in Bible school, Bible study. Have consistent relationships. See, here's what a lot of people do, man. They only hang out with God in the good times. See, I really feel like some of my friends, man, they never grow up in Christ because they only go where God, where the jingle and the tingle is. And they never grow and mature. John Paul, you and I were talking about that one day. Man, if you really want to live out your faith, you need to stay with the movement of God in its low times and in its high times, because then you really grow. You know, Elizabeth and I got a great marriage because we've been through some low times together. We stayed together for a couple decades plus. I plan on staying with her till we get out of here. Hope she feels the same way. And you know what? You know what? Watch this. Yeah. Some of our lowest times ended up being some of our what? Greatest teachings. Because guess what we realized? We ain't never going to do that again. We see how that happened. We see where the devil threw us a ball and we hit the wall. So you mature. Stay with it consistently. They met together constantly. So guess what that says? Don't skip worship. It's important. It's not on your time, it's on God's time. That makes sense? See, I love y'all's attitude. People that visit with us all the time, they go, aren't people worried about you being on time? I said, church people are. Followers of Jesus aren't. See, church people only come to church to punch the clock. Followers of Jesus come to church to see what Jesus is going to do that day. You know, if Jesus keeps us here to, you know, next week, I'm cool with that. How many of y'all got enough faith? If Jesus wanted to stay for a whole week, he'd go ahead and provide for that deal. See, about half of you believe that. About half of you would stay and we'd get a blessing. I guess you ain't been to Bible study yet, because I remember one time, Jesus, he had worship and he went long, went past 12 o'clock. Then he went on past the evening session. All the restaurants had closed. That's where he was teaching. They'd all closed. McDonald's closed, Burger King closed. And he said, you know what this town needs? A long John Silver's. Jesus found him some fish and some bread, and he opened up the first fish sandwich store right there, fed over 5,000. Here's what I'm trying to tell you, man. Do we have the kind of faith, the kind of awe, the kind of consistency that says, you know what? I believe Jesus will take care of us if we really allow Jesus to be honored first in our lives. Those are challenges to us who follow Christ. And he goes on and he said, guess what they did? Every day they continued to meet together in temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There it is again. Eat some more. But what kind of heart are we supposed to have? Glad! Now watch, we're fixing to go practice this. How many of y'all are going to a restaurant after you get out of here? Okay, great. You need to go be the glory of God. And I'm going to fuss at you if I hear another servant tell me that a church member, a church person is what they call them, made them feel less than. People go to a restaurant to come out of church and make those people that are waiting those tables feel less than. Guess what? It's because they didn't go to church on Sunday morning. They went to a false church. Because Jesus would never make anybody feel less than. In fact, if you've ever read the book, Jesus would take a towel and wash the feet of the people that were serving him. Do the same. Do the same. That means if you leave a chintzy tip, you're telling that person you got a chintzy God. If you're going to tip chintzy, go home and eat. Be a great witness. Be a great witness. These are real things. Glad and sincere heart. Welcome people into your conversation. Amen? It's going to happen here in Bowling Green. One day we're going to have every restaurant in Bowling Green going, oh man, it's almost 12 o'clock. The church people are going to be here. They're better than the drunks. Right now the drunks are better than the church people. Is there something wrong with that picture? Huh? You know what I'm talking about? Hey, chef. You know what I'm talking about, chef, is that on Sunday afternoon, there ought to be more of a glad and sincere heart than on Friday night. You got my drift? You see, what I'm trying to tell the world, and we got to tell the world together, we got to be the glory of God together. Let me preach for just a moment. We got to be the glory of God. Sunday ought to be a better party than Saturday night. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Sunday morning, people ought to be going, ooh, 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 ooh. They are in worship. What are they going to do today? Then we can say, come on in and see. We might allow you to meet Jesus. Let you be free to all your sin. It ought to be that great. Hey, you're on your way, but I'm telling you, don't stop. We got a few notches to kick it up, yeah? Don't be scared. That's all I'm asking you today. Don't be scared. What's God going to do? Let me give you comfort as your leader. I don't know. I'll never know what he's going to do. You? God never does it like I want to do it. Just never does. In fact, I always know it's God's will because I never agree with it. telling him, I said, God, I wouldn't do it that way. And he goes, yeah, I understand. That's why I'm telling you what to do. Oh, you made me, I didn't make you. That's the difference in a higher power of my own understanding and a higher power that recreates me. You see, if I create the higher power, then it's not a higher power. Y'all with me here? So I'm going to eat with a glad and sincere heart and do what? Celebrate the power of God that is true and authentic in our lives. That's part of the responsibility of church. And then let me tell you what happens. I'm going to finish up. They devoted themselves to the teachings. Did I tell you that this morning? Powerful stuff happened. They broke bread and ate together. They went to each other's house. They hung out in the name of Jesus. They got to know one another. They went on. And guess what happened? They were praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. How many of y'all love people? If you're going to follow Jesus, you need to love people. How many of y'all love weird people? Okay, cool. It's great. How many of y'all like everybody you meet? I don't. I don't like some of you all. Some of y'all don't like me. It's okay. Watch. So what? Elizabeth doesn't like me, and she lives with me. At times. I don't like her sometimes. I'm going somewhere with this, and I want you to hear it. You want to hear one of the greatest flaws of the church? It doesn't matter that we like each other. It matters that we love each other. Jesus didn't die on a cross so that we would be likable. He died on the cross so that we might be lovable. Big difference. How many church problems have I seen? Because so-and-so didn't like such-and-such. How many times have I heard this? I'll have these people come to me and say, I don't like my pastor. And I go, well, I'm sure he doesn't like you. And I said, you know what? Please, in the name of Jesus. And I always ask them this question. How long have you been following Jesus? And they'll go, 20 years. I go, when are you going to grow up? I said, are you so myopic, which means so tiny? Are you so immature that you really think that the purpose of your pastor is to be liked by you? How gross. Would you truly, are you such a humanist that you think that's the purpose of God's church? That we all gather together and like one another. That's the kingdom of Barney. In Mr. Rogers' little neighborhood. Maybe that's what polluted our minds. Jesus said they ate together. Watch, he's not after the mind, he's after the heart. Glad and sincere heart. And they learned to love one another. Now here's where love gets powerful. Even if I cannot totally agree with you, I can love you and we can journey together until the truth of Jesus Christ sets us both free. Now that's a power the world doesn't have. They got so into it, they sold their possessions and made sure that anyone who had need was taken care of. And let me show you what happened. You ready? And the Lord, who? 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 Added to their number daily those who were being saved. I don't know about y'all, but it looks like to me that's pretty important to God. Why did he bring it up? So I just want to remind you, the purpose of this church will always be this, to connect people to Jesus Christ so they'll be saved. We got to have cool community. Man, it's a great Godstock. I want to thank you at Godstock. How many of y'all had a powerful time at Godstock? How many of y'all went to Godstock? How many got to go? Cool. Great. Got to see 60-plus people baptized in one Sunday morning. That's pretty cool. That's good morning. If y'all release this church, it'll be 6,000. Y'all think I'm talking out of my head? I am. I'm talking in my spirit. Be 6,000. Be pretty good, wouldn't it? You say, where are you going to put them all? We got room in churches. I'm not worried about putting them here. Let's put them in the kingdom. Amen? Celebrate with one another. Love one another. Live with Jesus, and enjoy each other. And let the Lord add to our number daily those who are being saved. Amen. All right. I'm done. Any questions? How many of y'all going to go live this? What do you think? Young people, does this make sense? Does it? Man, this is a church God's building, y'all. Hey, please, I ask y'all just one. Listen, I'm going to be old when y'all are like my age. I'm going to be old. I'm going to be cool when I'm old, I'm telling you. I'm going to have a long ponytail, ride my motorcycle all the time. Watch. We need to have a church that's alive on campus. Okay? Having a campus organization ain't getting it done. We need to have a campus church. Pastor Jeff, it's that church, that power of God being released on the campus. Larry, Emily, y'all work in that. It's going to be a Holy Spirit hitting that campus. That's what gets the attention. Being real with people, amen? Bowling Green, we need to encourage our brothers and sisters, our followers in Jesus Christ to live it together, amen? Y'all been great. All right, I'm finished, I think. Yeah, I got everything for today. All right, y'all ready to get an attitude? Huh? We're going to get some attitude. All fall. How many of y'all okay? We're getting a little attitude. Jesus kind of attitude. It's okay to have a little attitude. Dream with me, church. Dream with me. If we truly came together and all of us had a like mind in Christ and a heart that yearned for God to do great things, what do you think God would do with that? I don't think He's going to look down from heaven and go, nah. I think He's going to show us what each one of us can do in a big way. Going to need some of these young married couples. What do you think, big boy? You're it. Tag. Your turn. The glory of God coming out of a young marriage. Y'all having a good time in marriage? Amen. Cage, you're going to need young men in high school to do what? Stand up and walk straight. You starting to do that. Thank God. Got to be like, you know, kind of be like King David. You got to be young and full of attitude. You go knock a giant out with a pebble wearing a jock strap, you got some faith. Amen? And you know why he could use David? You know why he could use David? Check this out, guy. He couldn't find a trained warrior who had enough faith to go to battle. Feels like that today in the church. Well, just God's got to use crazy people like me. Because all the good people are too scared to bark. They can say it a lot better than I can. It's just I'm crazy enough to say it. Without Jesus, there is no life. No matter how pretty you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how American you are. And with Jesus, guess what happens? Full and abundant life is in you forever. And nobody can take it away. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Well, I just want to pray. And some of y'all are going to meet Jesus this morning. Welcome to the kingdom. Watch this. If you're wondering, why in the world am I in church today? It's because you don't have a relationship with Jesus and He wants you to come to know Him today. Y'all okay with it? You say, well, my friend bugged me to come here. Well, good. They love you. I found that things that love you bug you. You had a daughter? They love you. You had a mama? My mama would bug me. You know why she bugged me? She loved me. So these pastors are going to be up here to pray with you and talk with you. I'm glad you're here today. Everybody's welcome here. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus right now, I'm just going to ask you to pray and ask Jesus to do what? Come into your life. Forgive you of your sin. Make you new. Now let me tell you something. If you've never been baptized, you all know I've been on this. I've been on this here for about 6 or 8 months, man. God's put this on my heart. If you haven't been baptized after you received Jesus, that's really important. That's part of the Acts 2 deal. Be baptized. And listen, I'm sorry. The church has kind of blown that off. Well, you kind of, you know, if you have it, it's real. God said be baptized. And I don't know why when God says something real clear, we all want to go, well, did He really mean it? Let me help you. Yeah. Yeah. So if you hadn't done that yet, man, you need to do that. Because guess what you're doing? You're standing up and you're saying, you know what, God? I'm going to live it the way You've made me to live it. I'm going to be sealed in Your power. Is that real? Man, God loves you. Church, I believe God will heal you. I believe you got to want